Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined for the next few minutes of the program by Pastor Carlos Hernandez. He's Director of Districts and Congregations for LCMS World Relief. We're going to talk about the relief efforts in the aftermath of a nor'easter that pounded the East Coast earlier this week. You may not have heard about this given all the big stories in the news, but it's definitely something that's happening, if not behind the scenes, certainly perhaps out of the public's attention. Pastor Carlos Hernandez, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
You spent a lot of time after Katrina in the cleanup effort and in the relief effort down there. How does what you're seeing in the Northeast compare with what you saw in the South?
Well, amazingly, some astounding similarities. I didn't believe it until I got here today, this afternoon, to see for myself firsthand the downtown of this little community in New Jersey called Boundbrook. And there were the big Caterpillar trucks, you know, scooping up garbage. And yesterday there was still about a foot of water. I think when Steve gets on the phone here, Kazar, he'll give you a little bit more specific. He's a fireman, and he'll give you more specifics.
Before we talk with Steve Kazar, what, as far as you can tell, is the cause of the damage there in the Northeast?
Well, there's the Raritan River, and of course, Steve will tell you more because he's a longtime resident of the community. But the Raritan River just overflows, and it's just it almost sounds like, and they're talking to me, it sounds like the levees in New Orleans. And the Corps of Engineers is supposed to build a wall by the Raritan River, but it's not going to be big enough. So it's just a perennial problem here in this community. This is they got flooded even worse in 99 after Hurricane Floyd.
And
so it's just kind of hidden away here. I never heard of it. And but definitely it's a problem here. And it, like I said, it does look a lot like a like Steve called it a mini Katrina.
Pastor Hernandez, you were there to, essentially assess the damage and then figure out where the best help can be used and employed on part of?
Yes, the way we work at LCMS World Relief and Human Care is that we let the districts know, in this case, the New Jersey district, as well as the Atlantic and New England districts, that we're and the Eastern district as well, let them know that if they know of any of their congregations that have been affected by the nor'easter, or the congregational members or our communities let us know. And, you know, oftentimes they say, well, thank you very much. You know, we'll let you know. And, you know, usually people are okay. But in this case, I've had referrals from the district for three districts, the Atlantic, the New England, and New Jersey. And what we do is we try to come on site. We can't come on site on all of them, but when Steve said this was like a mini Katrina, I had to come see it myself on site and help assess the needs of the community. And we try to figure what kind of financial grant the congregation could use initially to respond to the needs either of their members or their schools or their community. So that's what we're doing here.
Pastor Carlos Hernandez is our guest director of districts and congregations for LCMS World Relief. We're also joined by Steve Kazar. He is a firefighter and member of St. John's Lutheran Church in Boundbrook, New Jersey. Steve, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. Steve, what's happened there in the area of your congregation?
Well, we had on Monday night, or actually Sunday afternoon, it was raining all day Sunday, and Sunday night we started getting real heavy rain, and the water started rising in the river. She rose to flood stage, which was about 28 feet, and it just kept rising from there. We start at 30 feet, 31 feet for minor flooding, and we reached that at about midnight or so. And then Monday morning, about 2 a.m., we were at 32 feet, and we ended at 8 a.m. the next morning. About 9 a.m., between 8 and 9 a.m., we ended up at about 38 feet, 8 inches of the height of the Raritan River.
So what does that look like on the ground?
Down of our community to about, in some parts, 8 feet, some parts 10 feet, most parts over 6 feet. The emergency services lost three buildings. They weren't damaged to beyond repair, but they were unusable by us. We were completely cut off from our fire services buildings, and then about 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning, we had a small fire start in one of the houses that we couldn't respond to because the fire department doesn't have boats with pumps in them. We couldn't get to the homes, and the home caught on fire, and it burned three other homes and heavily damaged the fourth. It was pretty hard for us to watch a house burn that we couldn't do anything with because the water was well over our head where the houses were burning, and we just couldn't get to them. We called in New York Fire Department. We're not that far from them. They did launch a boat into the water there, but New York is a distance away from us, and all the other towns were using their boats, so we just kind of had to wait and watch it burn. It was pretty devastating for the fire services. But on the people part, we have all the high school, the grammar schools, and the middle schools are completely filled to capacity with people from the area that were damaged by the flood. We're just basically, there's a lot of dry parts in town. It's only the lower end of town that has been flooded, but it's a lot of lower-income families, and a lot of these people don't have relatives or friends in the area that they can stay with. A lot of good, hardworking people. It's not a high-crime area at all. Good, hardworking people, and it's real sad for us to see the community, you know, hurting like this. So we're, as the church members, we're just trying to do what we can to try and help out and get these people back on their feet, at least maybe short-term, you know, for now, because basically after a couple of days, the Red Cross is going to start shutting the schools down, and these people really are basically going to have nowhere to go, and that's what we're a little concerned with.
So as far as you know, what happens after that when the Red Cross says we can't continue with this situation? What kind of provision will the people who've been displaced out of their homes have after that?
Well, they won't be allowed back in their homes. Right now, the town hasn't really opened up the flood area yet because they have to go in and inspect the houses for damage. They have to inspect the houses for structural damage. They have to have the inspectors come in and inspect electrical systems, make sure that they weren't, you know, wet by the flood, which in this case, 99.9% of them were. So that means that they're going to have to dry out all the electrical services, probably replace electrical panels. It's not going to be something that's going to be done overnight. So once these people leave the shelters on Sunday, or possibly Monday if they extend it, they're basically not going to be able to be sleeping in their own homes. We don't know where they're going to be. They're probably going to be just wandering around or sleeping in their cars. A lot of them did sleep in their cars because I don't think they were allowing animals in the shelters. And some of them did have animals, and they were just basically sleeping in their cars with their animals. So we're just worried that they're probably going to be back out on the street.
How suddenly did this come upon the community?
Well, at first, the initial projection for the storm was that it was going to be a storm that was like a storm we had back in 1996, before that was prior to Floyd. And they didn't think it was going to be that bad. We're not totally used to flooding here in Bound Brook, but we kind of got a handle on it, and some of the floods aren't as bad as others. But this storm started out as kind of like minor. We were going to get some minor flooding. We were prepared. Me as a fireman was prepared for it. You know, the fire department, we were ready for it. But the rain just kept coming, and apparently the low pressure stalled out a little bit over us, and it just kept raining on us, and we had to kind of change our plan a little bit, and then we went into a mandatory evacuation, and that was it. That's all she wrote, and now here we are.
Has the church building there at St. John's Lutheran Church been affected, or any of the church's members, or displaced?
By the grace of God, we are amazed at how well our church did. Because in 99, we had 5 feet of water in our basement, and we got no water this year. It was amazing. We could not believe, and our church sits right next to a brook, and we got no water in the basement. And that's what stops us from being a shelter, our church, because the brook is so close to our building. We usually sustain flood damage, and they can't rely on our hall or our gymnasium to house any of the homeless or flood victims, because we ourselves usually are in harm's way. So this year, though, for this time, we didn't get one drop of water in our building, which is pretty amazing, and we are so thankful that that didn't happen. Now we don't have to worry about cleaning our facility. We can kind of go out and help the community and try and get them back on their feet rather than worrying about our needs.
Steve Kaiser is a member of St. John's Lutheran Church in Bound Brook, New Jersey, and a firefighter there.
Hey, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it. Pastor Hernandez, we just heard from Steve Kaiser, and it sounds as though the church is in a position, because it didn't sustain any damage to its property or most of its members, to really be able to help the congregation there. But it's going to need some help to do that. What is the next plan of action for the residents of Bound Brook, as far as LCMS World Relief is concerned?
Well, what we're doing, what we have been doing today, and we have a meeting this evening with some families that are packed into a one house, is to do an assessment of what the most critical needs are. Some people lost all their possessions, and other people cannot get back into their homes. Quite a few people can't get back into their homes. And so we're trying to see if we can, ordinarily what we try to do is help them with their first, last, and cleaning deposit, try to get them into some temporary housing until their homes are back cleaned up and rebuilt. Sometimes that takes anywhere from 6 months to a year. So it's a big need, and I know we do this all the time. We start out with an initial grant of trying to get people what they need between the next 10, 15 days. And then just stay in contact with the congregation and with their, see how they're doing and in meeting the needs of their people, especially the people that they've come into close contact with in the daycare center that they have in their school. So they can't help everybody, but they're going to try to help as many people as they know, you know, pretty well, pretty intimately, sort of like their first sphere of influence, being the families in the daycare, and then other people that are associated with the congregation that may not necessarily be members.
Pastor Hernandez, finally, what can our listeners do to help LCMS World Relief and to help LCMS World Relief help those in Bound Brook?
Well, as you know, we always are in dire need of donations so we can respond to the needs of these people throughout the Northeast. And like I said, there's this is only one of the congregations that we've had. There's five others that we have to respond to throughout the Northeast. But this I thought was one of the most interesting and most critical areas, so that's why I came down here personally. But I've been fielding calls all afternoon from other areas, and probably will do the assessment pretty much over the phone. But whatever our people can do to help us, help this congregation, help the community through their donations through LCMS World Relief and Human Care, would be most appreciated, as always.
Pastor Carlos Hernandez is Director of Districts and Congregations for LCMS World Relief. We heard earlier also from Steve Kaiser, who is a member of St. John's Lutheran Church in Bound Brook, New Jersey, and a firefighter there in that community. Pastor Hernandez, as always, thank you very much for being our guest, and Godspeed on your efforts there in New Jersey.
And thank you for letting us talk to you.
Happy to do it. Bye-bye. For more information about LCMS World Relief and to respond to the pressing needs of those in the Northeast and elsewhere, where LCMS World Relief extends this touch of mercy in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way. Call LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. You can also visit our website and find their logo there. It's the logo for LCMS World Relief. IssuesETC.org is our webpage address. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined for further conversation on the relief efforts in the aftermath of a nor'easter that pounded the East Coast earlier this week. Pastor Ed Balfour is our guest. He's pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Pastor Balfour, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
What have you been seeing around there since the weather has turned inclement for you on the East Coast?
Well, inclement weather is definitely an understatement. Actually, in our church itself, we had over a foot.